minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevro. What a Tuesday night, Angel. That was a lot of fun, man. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, the highlight for me is Colorado State just absolutely annihilating Virginia 67-42. How about this headline from ESPN? This is when you know it's bad. I mean, they're like calling for the four-letter network is calling for Tony Bennett's job today. So this headline was Virginia to look at its system after first four exit. Yeah. CSU beat the blueprint out of them. That model is just boring as hell. It's bad for basketball. Good defense, but taking that thing down to the shot clock every single time, and you're basically giving yourself that one little inch of an opportunity. You're not looking to take advantage of openings, whatever. That's the philosophy with Virginia, is we're going to bleed the clock out and wait until we find the perfect opportunity with about 5, 6, 7 seconds left in the shot clock. Problem is, there's not always that opportunity. And when you, that's just in the mindset, you're not constantly looking for shots early in the shot clock. So, and I didn't watch a lot of Virginia basketball this year, but I have in the past. They don't score. They play great defense, and that part of it's fine. That part of it's great. But, you know, Virginia was bad, but you have to hand it to CSU. I mean, what they were able to do in this game. They scored 40 points in the second half on that defense. Outscored Virginia 40-28 in the first. Virginia scored 14 points in the first half. I thought, come on, the over's there, Angel. We can get the over. Virginia needs to get like 10, 12 more points. They needed to just play like five more minutes of basketball is what they needed. Like actually in the game. There were several minute stretches where Virginia just didn't score. And CSU took a while to get into it, but you could tell they had the jitters. I mean, one time, Nate Clifford just taking the ball out of bounds. He's dribbling it up the floor, and he just loses it. You know, Joel Scott had a couple of gimme layups early in that game and just flat-out missed. But he still ended up with 23 points and 11 boards. Nate Clifford, 17 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. That was the guy I thought was going to shine last night. And I guess it depends on who you ask. You know, four points, essentially, four assists away from a triple-double. But Joel Scott with 23 points and 11 rebounds really was great. And this whole narrative, too, about Isaiah Stevens wasn't really a factor. Where was he? 5 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. That's what he does. He can do that. He looks at a game just the same way Nikola Jokic looks at a game. How do we win this basketball game? Okay, this isn't going to be an Isaiah Stevens night. There's a really good guard in Reese Beekman who was, you know, again, I don't know that he was necessarily doing anything to throw Isaiah off. It's just that's what the game called for. Those are the best basketball players. The guys that don't force anything, they let that game come to them, and that is Isaiah Stevens. I've seen plenty of games like that from him this year, or maybe only had 7 or 6, 7 or 8 points or whatever, but he still facilitates. He takes on the double teams. He only shot the ball 5 times. He didn't need to. He was Joel Scott at 23 points. A lot of those were from Isaiah's assists down there. And Nate Clifford, again, 6 assists for him. He was finding guys. You didn't need that. So the bigger picture here, this was big for the Mountain West. Like, I don't care if you're Wyoming and Air Force and Boise. This was a big victory for the conference, honestly, regardless of what happens in the next 2 days. If the Mountain West ends up not making it past the first weekend, this win is so monumental. Seriously, I'm not blowing this up. This was a top story. You had Stephen A. and J.J. Redick going at it today on Tony Bennett and how this style of basketball is bad. That's got to wake up the selection committee when they look at this and go, wow, we missed on this one, this specific one. CSU shouldn't have been the last one in. We can talk about the flaws that they had in the Mount West Conference, but outside of the conference, they were good. And that's who they're going to be playing in March Madness, is teams outside of the conference. The Mount West beat the hell out of each other. And you get to know these guys. Isaiah Stevens has played for CSU for what, five years? A lot of these guys in the Mount West have been there. Jalen House has been there for a long time now. They get to know each other so well. The coaches know each other so well. They know each other's blueprints. They probably know each other's greatest fears. They play them all the time. So when you get out of that, You know, you bookend this thing. Non-conference, amazing. Mountain West, 50-50. Back out of the conference, or back out of the Mountain West, and into March Madness, we might see something crazy here. So much so that I changed my pick. I like CSU to beat Texas. How about that? I think CSU is a great basketball team that kind of fell into what we see, kind of like an NBA playoff series. It's just, you might win a best of seven, 4-3. Yeah, you won, you're over 500, 4-3, but it was a heck of a series. That's how the Mountain West has felt, like a playoff series, all conference schedule long. So I'm reinvigorated by this team because of what they did. And again, to score 40 points on this defense is nothing to sneeze at. The national narrative is going to be Virginia was awful, Tony Bennett's bad, they need to change the style. Those are all true. But let's not ignore the fact that CSU was a top 15 team at least once. They were ranked several times throughout the course of the regular season. And they're good. They have Isaiah, you could score 2 points. You could score one. You're still one of the best college basketball players in the country because you have the mindset of a Nikola Jokic. They are nothing alike the way they play, except for maybe their passing ability. But mentally, they both go check into a game and say, I don't even need to look at a box score. I don't even know if Isaiah Stevens knows what a box score is. I'm joking, of course. I don't even know if he looks at those. I mean, you met him. Angel, you've talked to this guy. He is as even keel as you get, steady Eddie. Do you think that guy cares if he has 5 points or 30? He is going to produce whatever is necessary in order for his team to win. And that's what he did last night. He's a special player. But Neat Clifford, Joel Scott shined. This has to wake up the selection committee. Anytime you start to make noise like this, and this is making huge noise. This is making a lot of noise. You got Izzo coming out talking about it today. He got in. He was helped by the current process. And he's saying, we got to fix it. We got to look at it. Now, I don't know that. I kind of like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But specifically for the Mountain West Conference, this is going to be a wake-up call. When you embarrass a team like that, I mean, the game right before it, Howard and
Wagner.
That was a great game. That's what you want in March Madness. This was a terrible basketball game, Angel. Just awful. And that sets you back. That pisses people off that are taking time to watch. And that was the night game. And so, perfect timing. I wanted it to be a bad game. I wanted CSU to blow them out. I thought it would be kind of a gritty game, but I thought CSU was going to win, going to cover. And of course, they did. But I didn't see that. I didn't watch a lot of Virginia basketball this year, but I've watched a lot of Tony Bennett Virginia basketball over the years. And that's what you get. You get great defense and a team they used to be extremely efficient, too. They would waste the shot clock, but they were so good at creating those shots. And it's a complete buy-in to a system. So maybe in this day and age of transfer portal and all that stuff, it's hard to have a system like that. I saw somebody made a comparison and said, Virginia plays basketball the same way Air Force plays football. Meaning that is a complete buy-in to a system. You might be a great quarterback. Every time an Air Force quarterback threw the football over the last couple of years, I always go, man, he could do that a lot more. But that's not the system. Theirs is, we're going to run the ball 80% of the time. And just when you think we're going to run it again, we're going to run it again. And then, oh, finally we pass it. That's a system. In this day and age, it is very difficult to get complete buy-in. And I'm not blaming it all on the players not buying into it, but that's a harder system to sell than any system, perhaps in college basketball at this level. So Tony Bennett's days might be numbered. I mean, seriously, the headline is that's a loud headline. You got a D1 program, a respectable D1 program over the years. That's probably going to have to do some deep soul searching. Let's read a couple of texts. Iowa, not Air Force. Maybe. I think Air Force, too. Air Force is all system. That's all a system. You know, if you're an offensive lineman, you have to play a certain way. Quarterback, you have to be okay with, you know, you better be able to run, but you got to be better at pitching a football than you are at throwing a football. Eastside Chris, admittedly, I am looking at my Rams against Texas. Perhaps the game last night opened some eyes. Yeah, I think nationally, it's opening a lot of different eyes. No question. But, you know, people that followed this team knew what CSU was capable of. But I'll admit, I even got lost in the absolute... You remember, like in the Looney Tunes cartoons, all the cartoons back in the day, whenever two cartoons get in a fight, what happens? They just do this, like, little dust circle, and it's just when you see a fist fly out. And that's what the Mountain West was. It was really hard to get a clear picture of the Mountain West this year because every time one of those teams would face each other, it didn't really tell us everything we needed to know about New Mexico, about Utah State, because we talked about this too. Not one team stood above the rest, maybe not one or two. And a lot of times that gives you a clearer picture of a conference, and it gives you a clearer picture of who you are as a team. Honestly, the non-con schedule gives you a better picture of Colorado State. And then the Mountain West, very competitive, very good. And it was hard to get a real feel as to who's the better team right here. We're going to find out a lot more about the Mountain West Conference tonight when Boise State goes up against CU. Like, that's going to be an interesting game. I'm torn here. You know, Rams fans should be rooting for Boise State. You know, I'm the guy that tells you, I try to tell Rams fans when they should be rooting for CU. And they don't always want to hear it. You probably shouldn't be rooting for CU tonight. You should be rooting for Boise State. Yeah, absolutely. It's about the conference now, because a Boise State win helps CSU down the road. And that's a big deal. So what a game last night overall. It was just a fantastic environment. Late night, early morning for Colorado State as they get right on a plane to go to Charlotte. And now they got Texas coming up. Now, thoughts? I mean, what do you think of this? This has got to be waking the selection committee up a little bit, Angel.
I'm not sure how much, because kind of like you said, with the dust cloud, it's hard to get a read on anybody, so it's a little easier to justify the selections and where they've been seated. Again, I don't think there's one Mountain West team that stands out as a top eight team in the country right now.
Well, not top eight.
Well, that's, you know, those are your top two seeds. Top 16, maybe. And it's San Diego State, and even I don't think they're the best in the conference. So, yeah, I don't get too upset about the seedings and the rankings. Wherever you play, who you play, you get to, you know, if it's harder on you, great. It makes a better story. If it's easier on you, cool. You get a nice run. Good for CSU. Good win. I think any basketball team that doesn't score for 10 minutes straight, I think more than just the system, I think you just get demoralized as a team. Because from what I saw for Virginia, it was just bad shots. Shots not going in. Okay, this is just not working.
Did you see the defense, though, for CSU? CSU is playing good defense.
I will give credit to CSU's defense, yes. But also, when you don't score for like 12 minutes in both halves, well, it's kind of like, what can we do?
It's because you take the shot clock down to nothing, and then you better hope that by the time 3 seconds... How many times did a guy have a basketball with 3 seconds in his hand, and he has nowhere to go with it? Like, again, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I watched a lot of Virginia basketball, but they put themselves in a terrible position when you're just like, hey, our philosophy is that clock. That's what we care about. Find the open shot. Don't care if it's 1 second into the clock or 20 seconds into the clock. Find the open shot. And that's what it looked like. We're just rounding it out until we can find something. And CSU did a good job of chasing them around for the duration of the shot clock. But I'm telling you, man, the network's talking about firing a guy like Bennett. The network's talking about how embarrassing of a basketball game that was. Virginia probably shouldn't have ever been in. And CSU shouldn't have been the last one in. Like, I told you this. I'm not going to sit here and cry about the seeding. It is what it is. I did cry a little bit about CSU being a play-in game. That was my biggest gripe, was the fact that they were a play-in game. Because we thought all they needed to do was just win one game in the tournament. Now, to be fair, they put themselves in that position. Sure. But all you can do is go out and prove them wrong, and my goodness, they made a statement last night. They made a freaking statement, a loud statement, and I loved Nico Medved. Nice guy, but on the court, he's a different guy. After the game, he's asked, did you guys feel slighted? Was this personal? He's like, no, you know, it was, you know, it's just they take a long time to get a playoff, and, you know, we wanted to take advantage of that, and we were seated where we were seated. We're just happy for the opportunity. Deep down, they were pissed. They were mad. And they went after it. They had some jitters for the first 4 or 5 minutes of this game. And then outside of that, it was all CSU. You know, every time Virginia would finally score something, CSU would go down, score 5, 6, 7 in a row. CSU had a couple of pockets in this game, too, where they just went cold. But that's what Virginia does. They slow the game down. And listen, I love defense. I love defense in basketball when you can give me a good defensive team. But you got to give me something on the offensive side. It's just a boring style of basketball. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. There's no good, bad, the ugly in this scenario today. Because Tuesday night was a great night. Rams win? Good. Nuggets win? Good. Avalanche win? Good. Great Tuesday night. What better? I mean, I went back and I watched Nuggets, T-Wolves. I recorded it, so I get a fast-forward through all the commercials. I'll admit I fast-forwarded through portions of the game just to get through it because I didn't want to stay up until 1 in the morning. And That's a tough T-Wolves team that just wants to beat the Nuggets so freaking bad. But the Nuggets found a way to get it done. Michael Porter Jr. continues to turn this corner from, you know, pretty good guy that can give you 11 points and maybe 30, and now he's kind of finding a sweet spot in that in the 20s range, whatever, 26 last night. So it was a very good night. A lot of greatness happening. Let's see if the Buffs can continue this. I'm so torn on this because as a born and raised Colorado guy, not Colorado Buffs, but Colorado guy, I've always loved CSU and I've always loved CU and I always root for greatness for the state. But the Mountain West winning is greatness for CSU. But I'm rooting for the Buffs. Absolutely rooting for the Buffs tonight. Sorry. That's where I leave you today, Rams fans. I leave you. We were on the same path last night. And now I'm walking down a different path today because I love Tad Boyle. I love success in the state. And as much as I give Tanner crap and you crap, Angel, I do root for the Rockies. I do. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I want success. I want all the teams to win championships. How could I ever root against them? 24 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, let's talk more about that big night. Of course, more on CSU. They got Texas coming up. A really good guard matchup coming up for Isaiah Stevens. Wow. Going up against Max Abesmas. He is a transfer from Oral Roberts. He's a sensational player. Watch out for that guy. But can the Rams do it? Also, the poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes. Buffs or Broncos? Who's winning tonight? We'll be right back.
Want to win $1,000 this year? Keep it here to find out how to enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Summit Spas Windsor and Fort Collins.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's The Hull Show powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios working to get Kevin Lytle on the show from the Coloradoan, who I think just got into Charlotte. What a crazy schedule it's been for him. I mean, we talk about the crazy schedule it's been for the team and the coaches and everything, but Kevin's been flying all over the place too and has to book this on the fly. So wild night for him. He said he's going to be tired for the interview, so we're going to press him. We're going to ask him all the tough life questions. Kevin Lytle joining me. Kevin, are you safe and sound? Where are you right now?
Standing in the Charlotte airport. Finally made our way here to Charlotte from Dayton, which is not the easiest journey in the world, but made it.
You made it, man. You're safe and sound. Our connection's a little spotty right now, so we'll see how long we can keep you, Kevin. But, man, I mean, the travel schedule is just, it's insane. I can't even imagine what, you know, obviously on your end, but the athletic department, when you have to schedule things on the fly like this.
Yeah, it really is a whirlwind. I mean, just ton of crazy travel. You know, the CSU basketball team and, yeah, myself, not that anyone's worrying about us.
We were worried.
Vegas to Denver, right around to Dayton. Luckily, the team was able to fly right into Dayton, and then, you know, CSU flew out immediately after beating Virginia last night to Charlotte. Got into Charlotte somewhere in the 2 to 3 a.m. time frame, and ready to play tomorrow.
Ready to go tomorrow against Texas, and I'll ask you about that matchup in a second, but let's look at this Virginia game, Kevin. A lot is being said nationally about just how bad Virginia is, and rightfully so. They were bad. They did miss some shots, some open shots, but CSU was just as good as Virginia was bad last night. The Rams did exactly what they needed to do. I mean, there's a headline in ESPN today saying Virginia going to rethink its whole process or whatever. That's when you know you win a historic game, when you do something like that.
Yeah, totally. I saw that one, and yeah, I think both are true of, yeah, Virginia's offense, no doubt, is putrid. Don't love what they try and do there. But CSU also played really well. They created problems defensively. They were up in Virginia's grill on everything. And, yeah, create a lot of problems. So, you know, both are true. I think that Virginia has issues it needs to fix if it wants to be a premier program again. And CSU played really, really well.
No, they did. Everything went right for Colorado State. I mean, but again, you look at Virginia, 25% field goal percentage, worst by an ACC team in the last 40 seasons. They had 14 points in the first half.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, the 14-point first half, didn't score for a final 9:20 of the half, and then didn't score for about 3:30 in the second half. So it was about 12 and a half minutes of game action. And in real time, if you include the halftime break, it was something like 50 or 59 minutes, somewhere in that range. So pretty wild.
Yeah, it was. And you could see early in this game, Kevin, I think maybe CSU had the jitters a little bit. I saw Neat Clifford taking the ball up the court, and he just lost it. Joel Scott missed a couple of easy ones underneath the rim. But after that five-minute stint or so, CSU kind of got it together. And Neat Clifford really kind of started. It seemed like once he saw the ball go through the hoop, the rest of the team followed suit.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. There were some jitters there. I mean, Joel Scott started, I think, 1 for 4. All good looks in the paint. And then he didn't miss again. He had a great game. Yeah, Neat had that just kind of weird dribble out of bounds. He just lost the ball. His face after that, it was kind of like, wait, what just happened? Like, I dribble all day, every day, and yeah. I never do that. But, yeah, then they settled in. You know, that you expect that in the first few minutes of an NCAA tournament game, so that's no big deal because they did settle in and just cruised after that.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado, and he's there. He's covering all of it. He's flying all over the place. He's set to provide coverage tomorrow as the Rams get set to take on Texas. Kevin, was this one of those statement wins that wakes up the selection committee? Because you got the Stephen A's of the world saying Virginia's brand of basketball is awful. They shouldn't have been in. And I'm not saying that those guys are always right, but when it's so loud like this, like it is today, when it makes national headlines, you got to wonder if the selection committee is feeling some remorse today.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, the, I guess, quote-unquote good thing about, you know, being in that first four is you get a lot of eyeballs because it's the only game on, so you get a huge audience. There'll be a bigger audience than CSU gets in the first round game tomorrow just because there will be a ton of games going on tomorrow, so the audience gets split up. So yeah, it absolutely matters. I believe the head of the committee was sitting courtside last night, so
Wow.
He saw it. And yeah, CSU, you know, they've played it pretty politically polite, but there's no doubt that they wanted to do exactly that. You know, not just win, but kind of, you know, in an emphatic way, say, look at us. You know, you claimed we didn't do anything in non-conference because apparently you weren't paying attention. Look at us now.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, you know, Nico Medved says all the right things. The players say the right things, although the players, you can kind of see it with some of your coverage, too, how they really felt. But I always say this about Nico Medved. He's a really nice guy, but when it comes to the floor and it comes to basketball, something's different. Don't be confused by the nice guy that is Nico Medved. You could just sense it. You could sense it even when they're saying the right things, that they were not happy, and this is exactly what they were looking for.
Yeah, 100%. He goes into, you know, kind of that killer mode. He is a ferocious competitor, and that filters through the team. You know, Isaiah Stevens is very similar in a lot of ways. So, you know, the nicest kid you can ever find off the court. But, yeah, he wanted to mess some things up on the court.
He really did, man. He did. All right, so let's look at this Texas matchup coming up. Another good guard here with Texas, the transfer from Oral Roberts and Max Apesmith. This guy's, he's legit. He's a great player, and Texas is a very good team. Kevin, I got to tell you, though, I thought maybe CSU is going to lose this game. I've changed my mind. I think that the Rams getting out of the Mountain West is like a breath of fresh air, and this is a brand new basketball team.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a matchup a lot of, you know, bracketologists had projected as a first round matchup anyways before, you know, the committee kind of went rogue. And I think, yeah, in a lot of ways, it looks like a very even matchup. You know, Ken Pom has it basically as a 50-50 game. And yeah, Isaiah Stevens and Max Aspis is the highlight. They're two of the best point guards you're going to find in college basketball. They played a couple of years ago at Moby when Aspis was at Oral Roberts. Obviously, CSU had a much better team. Yeah, that was the David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens team, and CSU just rolled them. Those two have known each other for a long time. They're from the Dallas area. Going to be a great matchup. And, yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable to think CSU can win. I saw Texas, I think, is a 2.5-point favorite, which, you know, is probably fair enough, but a pretty tight margin there. So I expect this to be a good game. The way CSU's playing defensively, They should be able to be in the game.
I think you're right, Kevin. I'm feeling good about it, my man. Hey, we're going to let you run. I know you're trying to figure out, you know, what life looks like for you for the next several hours. But we appreciate you, my man. Everybody loves your coverage and what you're doing to get out and about. You know, just scheduling the plane, the flight, where you're going to stay, all that stuff. We appreciate you doing it while people like me sit on my couch. And, you know, it's very easy for me, Kevin. You the man.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do. Very, very fortunate and privileged to be here. And, yeah, hopefully people enjoy the coverage.
No doubt about it, my man. Nobody better. Kevin, be safe, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. No Rams Weekly tomorrow because starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow, we go wall-to-wall NCAA tournament coverage. We, of course, had the play-in games on for you last night. It's not going to change tonight. We're going to have both games for you, including that CU and Boise State game coming up. But this matchup between CSU and Texas, I agree with Kevin. It does feel like this might be a very balanced game. We might get a much closer game here. So I wouldn't be shocked. And that would be huge. Colorado State lost to Michigan in the first round two seasons ago. And this is a little interesting note here. The last two NCAA tournament games, as far as round one, CSU has faced the school that the football team opens with the next fall. So CSU played Michigan 2 years ago in the first round. CSU football opened with Michigan 2 years ago. Clay Millen's first start, right? And now they got Texas, and CSU football will open up with Texas next fall. So very interesting note there. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, speaking of athletic directors, there was Darren Dunn, UNC's athletic director. Rick George for CU was named the athletic director of the year by the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics, NASTA. That's a long name. But congratulations to Rick George. I mean, all right, yeah, there's been some good things. Listen, you can talk about primetime all you want, but successful women's basketball team, successful men's basketball team, a lot of success happening for the Buffs. It's not just a primetime thing. I saw that on the interwebs today, that it's like, really? He's going to get all that credit for just primetime? No, there's been more success and big stories surrounding Colorado. The Buffs existed before primetime was there. I know some people find that hard to believe, but, you know, all right. I don't know who to compare that to. But, yeah, congratulations to Rick George. I got no issue with that. That's fine. That's great. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Smitty says, tool. Yeah, more tool, Angel. I think that's a hint. More tool. Eastside Chris wants to know, why don't they play the play-in games? Why don't they have the play-in games held at the sites where the actual tournament is held? I mean, there's a case to be made for that, but Dayton has their thing. They've created that. That's where they... You know, all these different cities and towns and stuff get, it's kind of like bowl season and stuff. They get it. They get to host it. They put on a great venue. People that were there at the game last night, you know, Fort Collins people, whatever, all saying it was a tremendous venue to watch basketball. It was exciting. So it's harder on the players to travel and stuff and do all that, I get. I guess they just kind of like isolating. They like having the play-in game in this place. They like having the first round in this region here, first round in that region there. They like moving this thing around. So that's part of the madness, isn't it? That's part of this tournament is you are moving around. You're flying. You're going all over the place. The rounds are different and all that stuff. So I don't know why. I don't know who came up with that, but I have really no issue with it. I mean, the play-in game is not necessarily a luxury. It's you got in, but you're not fit. You're not one of our darlings, man. You were the last four in. You're called the last four in for a reason. So we're going to separate you guys out a bit. Would it make more sense to do it? It'd put more strain on Charlotte, I guess. I don't know. It is what it is, I suppose. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. You know, we're going to have maybe another run of crazy weather here this weekend, probably a few more stretches of that before we get out of the woods for maybe a couple of months yet. But, you know, Tanner came in and said the studio was on fire today. It was just hot. Well, you're going to be starting to think about that air conditioning. You got to think about how it was last year. You know, think long and hard. Stop and think about how your air conditioner was acting a year ago. You put it off. You thought maybe, you know, just forget about it. Well, maybe Lemons can help you out and make sure you don't have to come in from the outside when you're sweating your butt off, whatever it is you're doing, and it's just as warm inside. You know, or it's just uncomfortable, or certain rooms are feeling good and the other rooms are still hot. You know, talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Their website is lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes. I'm not asking who you're rooting for. I'm asking who you're picking. You know, we're asking you to make the educated guess here. CU or Boise State tonight, who's winning that thing? 71% say Boise State. I like the Buffs to win this game tonight. I think Boise State has to feel really slighted on where they were put in this tournament, because the Buffs have lost one game and, you know, over the course of a month almost. And that was the Pac-12 championship game. The Buffs have been red hot. So I think this team's figured it out. I think CU's going to find a way to get it done, and they're going to move on to, and they'll play on Friday. And we'll watch that out at our watch party. If you guys should come out to the watch party. We're going to be out at Eaton Country Club, McCarty's Grill there, scheduled for Friday. And I know we're already getting a lot of people ask the questions about, you know, are we going to reschedule the watch party because CSU plays Thursday? No, we're not the NCAA. We put a lot of planning into this and what day we're going to be going out there and stuff. So we couldn't really predict if CSU was going to play on a Thursday or Friday, if they were going to play at all. And as you've all learned, that's very difficult to predict that. So we just appreciate the great folks out at McCarty's Grill and the Eaton Country Club letting us hang out. Starts at 10 o'clock. Obviously, the game starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to be out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sorry you're going to miss it, Angel. You look very sad about it. You got a new haircut, man. Give me a smile over there. You got a brand new haircut. I want to see some cheering up today.
Oh, I mean, I'm missing it for a fairly good reason.
No, yeah, I know. You're going to a wedding. But, you know, you should be excited. You're going on a wedding. You look sad over there. We had a great night of sports on a Tuesday night, man. It's a great time. Wednesday morning. It's what a time to be alive, man.
Yes.
Yeah?
Agree.
Okay. 49 minutes after the hour. You don't go into sales, my friend. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Somebody's walking away with $1,000. Will it be you?
Are you talking to me?
Enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Bear Insurance.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I'll go to bat here for you a little bit, Angel. It's out of your control, first off. Eastside Chris says, not a good time for scheduling weddings, March Madness, or Super Bowl weekends. Or a boy, Tanner, of course, lovely Jenna, and I don't fault her at all. The wedding was way more important, and I do kid a lot about that, just as long as they didn't schedule over the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And they didn't. Good job for them. And that was a historic game. But, Angel, I mean, you could honestly make an argument. If you're a sports fan, if you're an overall sports fan, you could make an argument that no matter which weekend you schedule it, unless you schedule it on the one day a year that's like no sports is going on in July or something,
mm-hmm.
Unless you schedule it then, any diehard sports fan could give you a reason why this is a bad weekend to have a wedding.
Yeah, well, my sister's not a sports fan.
Yeah, it's out of your
I'll give
control.
Her credit for not doing it in the fall because she knows I'm a big sports fan, big college football fan. So, you know, obviously I would still go, but my attention might be elsewhere or maybe on my phone during the reception or anything, but yeah, I mean, she doesn't care about basketball.
Maybe this would be a good poll question. What is the worst sports time to schedule a wedding? Is it regular season football? Is it bowl season? Is it national championship game in college football? Is it Super Bowl weekend? Is it NBA finals, you know, in June? Is it March Madness? Tough part about March Madness, you can't block out an entire month. That's difficult. That makes it hard on people.
Well, it's like back end of March, most of April.
Yeah. Worst part, World Series. You know, you could make a case that any of these times are bad times to schedule a wedding. We got married in late June, so that was perfect for me because the Rockies were already out of it by then. And I'm sorry. 720. Who's their 720 texter that loves the Rockies and doesn't really like any other? He's always like sad at me. Is that HVAC guy?
It's possible.
Yes, it is. It's HVAC guy. And HVAC guy, I love you, man. I just, you know, I gotta throw a barb in once in a while. Listen, I hope the Rockies are amazing this year. And Tanner and HVAC guy and a little bit of you and Bruce Dick can just come at me and say, you terrible human being, we showed you.
Oh, I won't do that. I know what the Rockies are, but I'm optimistic. But I'm not going to be, yeah, I told you so, because they could fall apart in a week. I mean, they're already a game back in the standings, and the season hasn't started yet.
Yo, why was that a regular season game this morning? Dodgers and Padres, 5 years before the season begins, and we've already got, the Dodgers are already ready to rock and roll. They're already undefeated. And the Rockies don't even get a play for like 2.5 more weeks.
Next Thursday.
Oh, it's next Thursday?
Yeah.
Forgive me. It's hard to keep track, you know, with all the excitement. Top story of the day coming up next.